around you. Time to shine that light and break out from the norm. The universe is calling you to raise your daughters and sons. The universe is calling.
You're listening to Community Radio WRFG Atlanta and on the World Wide Web at wrfg.org. 89.3 FM. We're proudly your listener-supported station for progressive information.
So these are real people, not necessarily the actors. Some of them are definitely that Paula character, but they're friends and people that have been in my life. And I wanted something to be for us, you know. And it's not all about guys. You think of lesbians, you think of players. And homosexuality, you think of gay men. I wanted something for lesbians, and this is my way of doing that. So, and the love is born.
Okay, so everybody, you said the people in the cast are friends.
Yeah, for the most part.
and yourself? Your friend? A friend also?
Absolutely, we've been friends years. And when she came to me with the idea,
just give me your name first.
Robin Pruitt, and I play Tony in the play.
Okay.
She came to me with the idea. She said, "I got a part for you in my play," and I am already a natural born entertainer. So I read the part and fell in love with it, and fell in love with the idea of playing Tony. And it's been exciting. It's been a wonderful ride thus far, and it's just beginning. So I'm excited, and wherever All in the Name of Love goes, Tony will be there.
Okay.
Yes.
I was asked earlier by one of your, I can't remember her name, but I had met her downstairs, if I liked the play. And I said yes, and she asked me why I liked the play. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I said to her was that the actors, the acting part, was so real. Okay, which really got me into the whole story thing.
Right.
You know, but it was the parts that you played that made it real for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you have something else coming up.
Yes, we have After the Rain, The Sun Will Shine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a continuation, just another day of drama. Tony and Janet are doing something else.
Just have friends.
And
after something good.
Yeah,
right?
This time they're actually doing something positive. In my next production, I'm hitting more on domestic violence, drugs and alcohol. Not necessarily drugs. I'm not going to say drugs because the character that plays, well, Stephanie's character is actually becoming consumed with alcohol. Tiffany's character is in a domestic violence situation.
Mm.
And with Tony and Janet, they're just both kind of workaholics right now, so they've forgotten what they had.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to hit on a lot of different situations that are involved in our community, as well as the we've just been blessed to do so much with All in the Name of Love.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started in 06, we were just doing it for at home. I mean, you know, we didn't hold back anything, but I didn't think that people were going to gravitate to it the way that they have.
Right.
And we get people, like I'm on MySpace or even my website all the time, like, when are you going to bring it here? We were in Houston, and this last week, and I'm like, we're in Atlanta, but I've gotten so many people in Houston, like, when are you bringing it back to Houston? Or, I missed it in Houston, can you come back? So we've been definitely blessed to be able to continue it.
So when's your next stop?
We're back in Dallas.
We're back in Dallas.
Yep. And I said we would never do Dallas again. We're done with All in the Name of Love in Dallas, but we're back. It's at the beginning. It's
okay.
July, like, 11th, 12th, 13th, that weekend.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the weekend after the 4th.
We're excited. Okay, so in July.
Yeah.
Okay. So I kind of broadcast this before.
Okay.
So that it's,
thank you.
You know, the word will get out there about that.
Thank you.
And then after that, you have another stop.
We have
that.
L.A. after that.
Okay.
And then we're pretty much somewhere every month until November, and then we take a break from November, December, and then we're recasting for After the Rain, The Sun Will Shine.
And for Labor Day weekend, you're going to be here in Atlanta.
That's what we've been propositioned to come back to do the play.
Really?
So
Yeah. For Black Lives?
Yeah, I'm finding out a whole bunch of stuff during this interview.
Interviews are good sometimes.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll definitely love to come back. Just for pride and, do it all over again. Do it better.
Yeah.
Do it better for the city of Atlanta.
That'll be good.
Absolutely.
That'll be good.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Thank you. And can you tell your listeners, tell them why we missed our interview? Yes, we missed our interview because we're on a different time zone.
Yes.
We sat for an hour and 10 minutes watching the clock, both excited, okay, we got 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, and so it got down to maybe 10 minutes. She said, Atlanta's on a different time zone than us. So I was I'm going to call the radio station. And then when I called, you were already out there. Sorry, guys. Sorry. So we didn't just stand you guys up. Trust me, we're still hurting behind that.
Yes.
Hurting ourselves.
Yeah.
I promise you.
But we'll air this one.
Okay.
And we'll get out there, so that your next production and stuff, folks will hear about it.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you for
for having us.
We got part of that.
We are. You know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, and that was the recording on Memorial Weekend at the 14th Street Playhouse with Keisha Jackson. And we have Keisha on the line. You there, Keisha?
I'm here.
Hi. How are you? Yeah, LaCara Foster is here in the studio with us also.
Oh, great. Hey, LaCara.
Hey, yeah. Keisha.
And Andre is also here. He is part of Black Pride, and he's on the planning and board of Black Pride, and he's also part of my production
team.
And everybody is here to talk about what's coming up on the 30th.
Yes, All in the Name of Love. We're back in the ATL.
All righty now. That's hot. I'm glad to hear it. I know folks will enjoy it. It was a great play. The interview was great. It let everybody know. But tell us how it's been between then and now, and what else you're looking forward to.
Okay, God, we have so many things lined up, a lot of different tour dates and cities that we're trying to hit. We've been definitely blessed that the gay and lesbian and bi and transgender community have accepted us. So we're just moving forward. We're there in Atlanta again for Labor Day weekend, and we're sponsored by Atlanta Pure Heat. That's with Melissa, MC Melissa. We have a wonderful host, Miss LaCara from She Speaks.
She's adorable. So,
my cast just fell in love with her. They're like, she is so funny. She has to tour with us.
Aww.
So I'm working on that. But we are back at the 14th Street Playhouse. Tickets are available at the Woodruff Arts Center or at the 14th Street. They can check out information on the cast, my production, what we're doing at KeishaJacksonProduction.com. We're also linked to Pure Heat. It's AtlantaPrideWeekend.com. But we're just excited with this production. We're moving forward with this one through 08, and we're looking forward to have a new production, After the Rain, the Sun Will Shine, and that's going to start in 09. So we'll be looking to come back to Atlanta with that production as well.
Okay.
I've written my first book, which is going to be set for publication and release January 09, so we're excited about that as well.
When Wonderful. Do you sleep?
I know. My wife says the same thing. Like, baby, can you get back in the bed? But I know. I sleep when I sleep. This is about work, and I'm so excited about the opportunities and just everything that's happening for us that I can't sleep right now. I'll sleep later.
Awesome.
Not now.
Are you guys going to have the same cast? Is the same cast coming back with you?
We have the same cast. We have replaced a couple of just extras. We've added in a little spice. Since we've been in Atlanta, we wanted to do something just a little different.
Okay.
But, yeah, so it's even better. It's
All right.
even better. I promise you, you're going to laugh a little bit harder. And we've even added in a couple of little tearjerkers for you. So.
All right. Okay. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to call. And looking forward to seeing you over the weekend.
Okay,
Definitely.
Great, lady. I'm looking forward to seeing
it
you.
It is a great play, and we are so glad you're coming back.
Oh, thank you, LaCara. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye. I'll see you ladies in a couple of days.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. Okay. Black Pride coming your way. All right. And we are going to chit-chat for a moment about Black Pride with LaCara and Andre. While we're waiting for our next phone call from the Reverend Troy C. Beecham from the St. John's Episcopal Church in College Park, Georgia. Okay. So talk to me. Talk to me. Tell me what's going on. What else is there's a brunch. Are you hosting the brunch also, LaCar?
I am. I have the Brown Sugar Vibe brunch that's going to be on Sunday, August 31st. Mm-hmm. Brown Sugar Vibe at Sugar Hill. It's an all-you-can-eat brunch, and it's featuring Maria Howell. She's a jazz vocalist, and she's from the movie The Color Purple, which is my favorite movie in the whole wide world.
And that's all part of the Black Pride events? Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Cool. So it's gonna be it's gonna be a fantabulous weekend. There's so much going on. And when does everything actually kick off? Because I know I'll be doing the Speak Fire on Friday, but I don't.
Everything kicks off on Wednesday.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
So people will be coming in registering at the different host hotels that are going on.
Right.
I know that there's a meet and greet happening on Thursday over at the Renaissance as a part of the Evolution, the Extreme, the fellas at Extreme. And then also on Thursday is the candlelight vigil that takes place at Tabernacle.
Right.
So it's a robust weekend. You know, there's something for everybody. You kind of got to get in where you can fit in because there's so much to do, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody has their following and everybody has their different flavor, so to speak, that they bring to an event. So we're happy.
Oh yeah, I think that is one of the charms of it, is that you do get to decide where you want to go, what crowd you want to hang with. You can switch it up. There's some young things going on, some older things going on, and I just think that that's all a part of the charm of it. Especially for somebody my age, because sometimes I want to hang out with the younger people, and sometimes I want to hang out with the older people.
So and this year, I guess where you'll be at is where you'll be, because they're anticipating that traffic is going to be heavier than usual.
Wow.
Due to the construction that may be taking place.
Oh, yeah.
The Georgia Department of Transportation has alerted that there may be traffic delays because of road construction, and there is a lot going on, such as DragaCon and the Clemson
game that weekend,
and it's a ludicrous weekend.
You so know, people so need
there
to
is
leave
a lot
early.
Going on, so you have to get there early.
Yes,
and be prepared if you're going to be in your car traveling the highways and byways that you know you may be sitting.
Right, or take MARTA.
Take MARTA if you can.
That's what they're recommending. Yeah, they're recommending taking MARTA. I mean, MARTA is pretty close to the headquarters for Black Pride is.
Well, there's different host hotels.
Oh, there
you know,
are.
In the Life Atlanta's events are over at the W Atlanta.
Okay.
It Tracks Girls and Tracks and Extreme are over at the Renaissance Hotel.
Okay.
Girls in the Night is over at the Westin Hotel.
All righty.
And several others.
Yeah, there's a lot going
and,
on.
And
just took over the town. Huh?
Ladies at play. Yeah, so everywhere there's something going on. But what I do want to say is this year, you know, with it being a historical election year and with it being a political year, there was an effort to really mobilize the community in a way that could generate leverage the resources of the community, so to speak. And so mass voter registration will be going on.
Yes.
So don't be surprised if you're in a club and you're waiting in line and people are coming up to you asking for your information for signups and voter registration. That'll be going on. And then particularly the State of Black Gay America, the second annual State of Black Gay America that's Extreme is partnering with it in the Life Atlanta to put on. That is the event that's going to bring in our thought leaders, our opinion makers, our taste makers, to talk about the issue that affect us as a community, and that'll be going on Saturday from 11 to 4. Now, that may seem like a long time, but basically, there's going to be a luncheon portion from 11 to 1, and the keynote addressee will be Cheryl Lee Ralph. She'll
awesome.
Be talking about her work in the community. She is the original Dream Girl diva who originated the role of Dina Jones in Dream Girls. She'll be there. And then the portion that starts the panel discussions, that will take place from 1 to about 4. And Pastor Troy from the Vision Church is moderating that. And that will include people like Maurice Jamal, Mandy Carter, from the Obama campaign will be there. People such as Earl Folks from the Federation and Media Blue Magazine, as well as Ms. Researchers and scientists from Emory will be on hand. So we've got a lot. They'll be talking about health, wellness, politics, leadership, business development, the like.
So it's going to be a very, very well-rounded Pride.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think a lot of people tend to think that it's just all about the partying, all about, you know, those things. And I think I was actually reading something on the AJC today that said something about parties and strip clubs. And I'm going like, no, it's so much more than that going on. And I kind of hated that was the byline of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much more going on at Black Pride.
They seem to, you know, the media, the press, they always seem to do that kind of stuff, because even with Atlanta Pride, they always put it down as being the big, you know, like just a big party,
right?
Over
right.
the weekend, and
well, some
and,
of
it's,
the,
and it is it's more than that, because it's really
yes.
not a
what has happened right. is it evolved. Yeah. I think right. people pretty much understand that a lot of these things may have started as circuit parties
or
things
yeah,
like that,
right,
very
yeah.
informal. But they have evolved since then,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why it's always important that we have a place like AP to come and tell the other stories.
The other stories,
and right. our bloggers. Thank God for them.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. We have one of your callers on the line, and we can bring her on.
Yes, one of
and
the...
if the Reverend calls, we'll sort of kind of interrupt a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, no problem.
She can hang on, and then we can go back. Okay?
One of our special screenings taking place during Atlanta Black Pride is Truth Hall, and the writer and director of that film is Jada Dixon. Jada, thank you for joining us.
Hi, I'm right. It's Jade. It's
oh, Jade, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Talk a little bit about your project and how it came to be. From what I understand, you're saying it's more provocative than Waiting to Exhale, as it talks about five college friends and the lies of their past may threaten their future. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. It's a modern day Waiting to Exhale, The Best Man, movies like that. But the reason we say it's more provocative is because we tackle some issues that aren't normally tackled in African American cinema. So, you know, we're feeling like it's definitely a lot more provocative than those movies.
So, in terms of where are you in your journey as a filmmaker? Is this your first project? I know that this movie is a feature. It is getting a lot of press and attention for entering into a number of film festivals. I think you've picked up some awards. But talk about your journey in this particular film and why now.
Well, you know, it's been an amazing journey. We began at the Pan-African Film Festival in February, and then we just had several screenings, just special screenings that we've done until last month, and we were at American Black Film Festival. So between February and last month, we were just doing special screenings, and now we're coming to Atlanta for Labor Day weekend, and then off to New York for the Urban World Film Festival. And, you know, to answer your question, it is my first feature as far as being the director, producer, you know, I starred in it. But I associate produced a film called Big Ain't Dad, which we shot in Atlanta several years ago. And I'm sure a lot of people probably own it on DVD now. So that was my first film. But this is the first film that is actually all mine.
And so before we go any further, and I know that we have another guest on the line, and we're going to just put you on hold for a minute while we capture some live news happening as it relates to some incidents that happened here at a church. The film takes that will be screening is at Sunday, August 31st, at the W Atlanta Hotel. It's going to screen at 6 p.m. as a part of In the Life Atlanta's host hotel events, and you can log on to inthelifeatl.com for more information. But just hold tight, Jade. We've got breaking news.
Okay, and on the line we have Reverend Troy C. Beacham. Hi, Reverend.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, glad to hear that. Okay, over the weekend at the St. John's Episcopal Church in College Park, Georgia, there was your church was vandalized. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, just before our early morning service, we have Mass at 8 o'clock and 10:30, and the gentleman opening the front doors discovered there was a big, you know, handmade sign put on the doors of the church, denouncing me and the church for having me as their priest.
Mm.
That was an interesting way to start a Sunday morning.
I'm sure. And that has never happened at this church, has it?
No, nothing
how
even
long,
like it.
And how long has the church been there?
Well, the church has been here for 100 years.
Okay, and you have been there?
I've only been here 2 months.
Oh, 2 months.
Yeah, I've just come, and I didn't realize the news of my arrival had spread.
Oh my goodness! Wow,
so
but you
widely.
Have a you have a you have a GLBT congregation, a large
yes,
number.
It's a significant portion of the parish.
Which, for those who don't know what GLBT is the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. And I am assuming that you are out.
Yes, yeah, that's I'm one of the few apparently in Atlanta. There are lots of gay clergy in Atlanta, but there are not many who are
actually out
in charge of the parish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what's upset somebody so much that this parish dared to hire an openly gay priest.
And you had gotten no indication prior to the signs on the door?
No, nothing at all. No phone calls, no graffiti. And it just, the effect on the parish was, you know, has been stunning. I mean, the parish is just absolutely stunned by this.
Mm.
Apparently, now the news is spreading that this has happened throughout the College Park community.
Mm.
And I just had some people, you know, show up at my door, and they made some handmade signs that they wanted to, you know, put in the churchyard saying, "Welcome, Father Troy."
Okay. All right. So you're getting some support from your neighbors.
Yeah,
say.
The community is responding really well. And the you know, the parish community itself has just been overwhelmingly supportive.
Okay.
It's been a fantastic response.
And the police, what are they doing?
The police, they came out and they were very respectful, very helpful. I think because apparently a church was recently burned down in Fairburn, I think. And
in Fairburn?
And then the Epstein School was vandalized with graffiti. I think that, you know, having this third incidence of some kind of, you know, hate speech.
Okay, hate crime kind of stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Has really galvanized them, and they're you know, there's a case file, and they're taking this seriously.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
and I'm glad to hear that the community has come in support.
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed by the positive response that everybody seems so far to be saying. This is not a community value for us. We
okay, and you know, here at our Alternative Perspectives, we're here to let the public know and keep them advised and educate the public.
Yeah.
So any time at all that you feel that you need to call us and let us know what's going on, the show airs every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Keep us up to date on what's going on.
I will do. If anything further comes out of this, I will call for
absolutely.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for taking the time and calling. We appreciate that. I'm sure that the audience out there who didn't know about it now knows about it.
Yeah.
And hopefully the support will increase. And
I hope so. Please pray for us, because
absolutely.
Has just shocked the parish,
absolutely.
And the parish is still
because,
confused and hurt by this.
Right, because, I mean, College Park, East Point, and that whole area there is very progressive.
Yes.
On the issues.
Yeah, very
you know,
much so.
Yeah, so I'm very surprised. When I saw it, when the news came to me earlier today, and I saw it, I said, oh, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Because I live in Union City, you know, so it's right nearby, just around the corner from College Park. And I was really surprised knowing of the progressive community that lives there, both, you know, straight and gay.
Yeah, I mean, one of my neighbors came to my office yesterday, and she was in tears about it. She couldn't believe that could happen here in our community.
Yeah, but it, you know, as we know
but it
now,
does.
It does. It can happen anywhere,
so
and
we
that's
still have
why.
Work to do.
Well, yeah, we have work to do, and that's why we need to stick together, and we need to be vocal and verbal, and let people know that these kind of things cannot happen.
Yeah, we can't be silent about it.
Right.
We don't necessarily, I think, have to become offensive ourselves, but we do have to take a principled stand.
Absolutely.
And say this is not acceptable.
Okay. Again, I thank you, Reverend.
Thank you for the opportunity,
Beecham. Okay. And again, I hope that you will keep in touch with us.
Yes, and please keep us in your good thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Now.
All right, bye.
Bye.
It's always tragic when those things happen in our community.
Yes.
But as the Reverend talked about, it was nice to hear and affirming to hear that was not a community value, and that the neighbors and the community really galvanized and mobilized
exactly.
around that.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
we do understand that there's been a lot of progress made as it relates to gay and lesbian relations with our straight allies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those vehicles that's allowed that is media and film.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this through Brokeback Mountain. We've seen this through numerous stories. And on the line with us now is Jade Dixon, filmmaker of the upcoming screening that's taking place during Atlanta Black Pride, Sunday, August 31st at 6 p.m. at the W Atlanta Midtown Hotel. The film is called Truth Hall. So glad you could continue with us after our breaking news, Jade.
Oh, of course.
But we were just talking about the impact that film has in terms of building bridges and building community. How have you seen that play out itself in your work?
Well, you know, after the screenings that we've had, just how many times people have come up to me and thanked me for, you know, talking about, you know, starting a dialogue about all of the different issues that we have in the African American community. You know, we're not one thing. So, you know, in the film, it's not a specifically gay and lesbian film, but it has a very prominent lesbian character. So we speak about all issues. We speak about, you know, the holier than thou character who judges everyone. We speak about, you know, the one who is everyone's friend, but eventually people, you know, turn on her because they feel like what she does is worse than what they do. I mean, we talk about every, you know, different careers. Each woman, most of them are successful. Some of them are housewives. So, you know, we speak about everything. So people have come up to me and thanked me for actually dialoguing about it because we don't see that. And Hollywood is afraid to show it. So because it's an independent film, we basically have a vehicle to tell whatever stories we want. And so this was a story I thought was important to tell, and I hope that people, you know, learn from it and get what they need to get from it.
Hi, Jade. This is LaCara. How you doing?
Hi, LaCara. How are you?
I'm fine. We spoke via email a couple of days ago, I think it was.
Yes, we did.
Yes, and Jade is the director, and I think one of your stars, they're going to be one of a few of my invited guests at the Brown Sugar Vibe at Sugar Hill on Sunday. So we're going to make sure we direct those people from the brunch over there to the screening, right?
That is correct. I will be there, and I'll have a couple people from the film with me as well. So, yeah.
Awesome.
We will be there.
So my question is, one, it seems like, if I'm not mistaken, when I read the synopsis of the film, it was set on an HBCU campus?
Well, you know, it's not set there. It, you know, well, it's supposed to be, Truth Hall is a dorm that's located at Howard University.
Okay.
We shot the movie in Los Angeles and in Mexico, so we never actually go to the campus.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be Howard University.
How much truth is it? And the reason I ask is because we just got off the phone with Keisha Jackson, the producer and director of All in the Name of Love, and she talked about the fact that the characters in her play, that's going to be at the 14th Street Playhouse on Saturday, you know, are so true to life and are actually friends of hers, which made it very easy for her to write. How much of it is true to form about this movie?
Well, you know, it took a lot of research, being that I am the writer as well. You know, I had to research so much. I mean, because there are five different women, and they're all so different, and of course I'm not a housewife, I'm not all the different things that I portrayed, so I had to ask friends, I had to go and be in the lesbian community for months and months and see how I could create a true character that would reflect what I thought, you know, a positive lesbian character. And also, you know, we all know someone that's like, you know, the person that's super religious. So that person was not really hard to write.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess I, to answer your question, not a lot of it is true for me, but all of it is absolutely true for, you know, the community as a whole. I mean, the whole purpose is for everyone to look at this movie and see themselves on screen or see someone that they know on screen. So I think that's what you're going to see.
Awesome. How much how much support have you received, and how much resistance have you received from putting your film out?
Well, Wow, that is a great question. You know, it's been amazing how much support I've received from Atlanta. I mean, you know, we were just planning a screening. I definitely wanted to come there because, you know, I grew up in Atlanta. I went to high school in Atlanta. And, you know, Lesbian 411 gave me a call.
Shauna Brown.
right. And she ordered the movie online several months ago when we were selling it to just select email list so that people could get it out there. We're not selling it online anymore, and she ordered it and she loved it and has just been so instrumental in hooking me into different organizations, to basically market the film to. So it has been amazing, and it's been amazing. You know, we went to Dinosaur and we did a special screening down at Dinosaur. So in that community, it's great. Resistance, I haven't gotten a lot yet, but I know it's coming. You know, a film that doesn't hide things and doesn't sweep things under the carpet is bound to get some resistance, especially from, you know, certain communities in the straight world. But so far, I haven't gotten as much as I thought I would. Most people, straight, gay, black, white, you know, have been very supportive and very impressed with the film.
Awesome.
In terms of the business side of things, we've recently seen gay black men with a very popular films and works debuting on the big screen. Names like Patrick Ian Polk come to mind and Maurice Jamal. When I look at the women of color, I want to say, where are they at in all of this? And are they still kind of underground, or have they hit a threshold, an important threshold? Where are black gay women and women of color, gay women of color at in all of this?
You know, even though we are in 2008, it is still a little taboo, and writers are still a little afraid to put pen to paper and bring that to life. So it's not that it doesn't exist. It's more that, you know, black women especially just aren't necessarily brave enough to do that. You know, I think it's coming. I think it's coming. I just don't think that we're there yet. So this is one of the few. There's a couple of, you know, there's a kind of a storyline in She Hate Me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, there's a couple of movies out there that are going mainstream, and Truth Hall is definitely picking up steam, and it's becoming a lot bigger than I had even imagined it would be. So, you know, I think eventually we'll get more mainstream with it. But right now, I think people are just kind of waiting for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. I have a guest that's going to be coming on. She speaks next week in response to Andre's question. She wrote a book. Her name is Nikki Rishon, and it's called Double Pleasure, Double Pain. Mm-hmm. And she was a guest on
She'll
the Oprah
She'll be here
show.
During Pride.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
she'll
great.
Be another guest at the Brown Sugar Vibe. Her book is supposed to be, I think they're going to be converting it to a movie, and it kind of addresses the whole coming out, and she's a lesbian, and but, you know, she's married and she has kids and she leaves this guy. I think the book is just, it's so far what I've read, it's absolutely phenomenal, and the book is going to be a movie, and so it's kind of one of those things. It's just like, oh, okay, like we're getting there. It's slowly but surely those stories are being told, and I think right now they're being told a lot more in book form. And so I think it's going to be, as we progress, more movies are going to be shown. But right now it's kind of like you can find it in the stores and the bookstores. And so I think it's good what you're doing, Jade, is putting it out there, because, I mean, I just think it's awesome for us to be able to see it in that media as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think it will, you know, expand some of the offers that we're getting, because we're still on the film festival circuit. That means we're still, you know, looking for buyers. Well, they're finding us, actually, now. We're getting
awesome
companies that you wouldn't even think would be interested in the film, mainstream companies. But it just takes someone to validate you. And because we've gotten in all these festivals and we're getting, you know, critical acclaim and we've gotten nominated for all of these awards, I think now they're starting to take notice. It's a quality film. It's shot well. I hope you think so, but it's acted very well. And it just happens to have a lesbian character. And now that it's been validated by all of these film festivals, we've got the bigger companies knocking at the door. So, you know, I think that's just what it takes.
Awesome.
So how did you get involved with the whole filmmaking business? Did you always want to do this?
Well, you know, I moved to Los Angeles to be an actress, and that's what I've done up until now. And I acted in Truth Hall as well. But the roles are just so limiting here. You know, your agent calls you, and there's, you know, there's these roles that you just really don't want to play, but you play because that's what's there. So I wanted to create more roles for myself and for other African-American women. Because three of the girls that are in the movie were my friends before we even shot the film, and they're great actresses. You know, I knew they could do the job. I had several celebrities attached to the film, and these girls are working actresses, and you might know them when you see them. But the people that I had attached were, like, pretty big names, and I said, okay, you know, I've got a budget where I can either put all of my money into my name or all of my money into the quality of the film and have people that I know can bring, you know, what they need to bring to this movie in the film. And so I just decided to put most of the money into the look, the quality of the film, and go with the people that I know can deliver. And they do. And why not create new names in Hollywood?
If for those people just tuning in, we're talking to Jay Dixon, director and creator of Truth Hall, that will be showing during Atlanta Black Pride on Sunday, August 31st at 6 p.m. at the W Atlanta Midtown Hotel as a part of the Atlanta Black Pride celebration. And we're talking about filmmaking, LGBT women of color in the media, and a whole host of other issues. LaCar, did you have a question?
I'm just really excited about what's going on. Where else are you guys going to? I know you guys are going to do your film, your screening at the W, and I know you guys are going to be at the Brown Sugar Vibe, and I think you guys are also going to be at Thrive on Friday. Is that correct?
Yes, we will be there.
So you guys are going to be everywhere, so people can come and get autographs, then come and take pictures with you guys.
Right, they can. I guess if they really want to get, like, we're going to have DVDs that we're selling and that you can only get from us at the actual screening. We'll have posters. We'll have the soundtrack. We'll have all of that. We just discontinued selling them online because, you know, we have a distributor that, you know, wants to be the one to do that. So,
who are some of the people that are on the soundtrack?
We've got Lena, who is a Hidden Beach.
Oh, love her.
Yes. Lena is amazing. She did 6 songs. She's got 3 that she sings, and then she's got 3 that she produced. We've got Trenice, who was in the top 5 on American Idol.
I remember her.
Right. She does our title track, Truth Hall, which I'll have to give you guys a copy of so you can play.
Awesome.
We've got Chaka Khan, who has 2 songs in the movie.
Oh.
It's not on the soundtrack yet, but there's 2 songs of hers in the movie. Who else? We've got Tanik, which is they're an up and coming band that just really good music. So the soundtrack is hot. It's doing just as well as the movie.
You've really done your homework. I'm so sorry. I'm going to leave you in the hands of Betty and LaCara because I've got to go to a Pride planning meeting.
Okay.
We are crossing those T's and dotting those I's, but we'll be talking. So thank you for calling in and joining us. I'm just so grateful, and we just support you in such a big way.
And I appreciate you guys' support, and I will see you when I get there. I get there tomorrow, but I'll see you, I guess, on Friday.
Awesome. Hi. Thank you, Jay. We thank you for calling in. Betty, did you have any other questions for Jay before
I'm looking forward to meeting you and seeing you over the weekend. Okay.
All right.
This is Betty. Yeah, this is Betty, the producer of the show.
Okay. All right. Well, I will definitely see you guys when I get there.
Okay. Thank you, Jade.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All righty.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. What else hot is happening for the weekend?
Let's see what else we have. Okay, so you know, Betty, I'm all into spoken word.
Yeah.
So with In the Life Atlanta, they're going to have the Speak Fire, which is such a signature event. It's huge, and people look forward to it every year. And I think last year they probably had anywhere from 200 to 300 people there
attending
the Speak Fire, and it is apps because you've been before.
Yeah.
And I think Imani had been the host for years.
It's late.
It is late.
And like Dion said last week, it's like she keeps saying, I'm going to the Speak Fire. 10 o'clock rolls around, 10:30 rolls around.
Yes.
So I'm going to the Speak Fire. But it's like, you know, you fall asleep.
Fire starts at midnight.
Yeah.
So you have to get your club nap in. That's what I call it.
That's what you call it, club
yes,
night.
Yes, you get your club nap in, and then you wake up, you shower, you get fresh, and then you come. You come to the Speak Fire. This year is going to be hosted by myself and Yolo the Poet. And he has a book out. He has an awesome book out, and he's an awesome, awesome poet. So we're going to be tag teaming on that. And I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know that Shade Gemini 2 Productions is putting it on. Mm-hmm. And, she's going to, Shay is so good with the visual and really making it a multi-layered event. So all of your senses will be aroused at this event. And it's just going to be dynamic. And I know that's going to be, and they say the view is picturesque. So I'm very.
So where is it? At the W?
Mm-hmm. It's at the Host Hotel. Yeah. And I think it's kind of like on one of the top floors somewhere.
Well, maybe if they still have the Crown Room or something that's called something else probably.
Right.
It's on the top floor.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. They say that there's a beautiful view of the city.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, from the former Crown. I don't know what they call it now because I haven't been there.
Right.
Since they changed the name and the renovations, but it used to be the Crown Room at the Sheraton.
Well, that's yeah. Are you going to come?
Who, me?
Yes.
Maybe.
It's just like,
midnight, girl. Midnight, you know, midnight.
Get your nap on and
get
come
my
on.
Nap on. Yes. Yeah, well, we'll see.
And then, so then Saturday, there's the play.
Okay, Saturday. Yes, Saturday
All in
night.
The name of love.
Sunday, I have the brunch down.
Okay.
On my schedule.
You have to come to the brunch. The brunch is going to be dynamic. We have Ken Jay's performing.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. That's
Chaz.
Good. Yeah, yes.
Abyss, Infrared, Flossie May. And when I tell you the talent, like seriously, the talent is phenomenal. And it's an all-you-can-eat brunch.
Right.
But the talent is absolutely, it's going to be live band, mm-hmm. live singing, spoken word.
Yeah. The brunch is always very nice, and it sounds like it's even going to be nicer this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's at Sugar Hill.
Sugar Hill. Wait, when you say Sugar Hill, where is Sugar Hill?
Sugar Hill is in the Atlanta Underground.
Oh, Atlanta. Oh.
Yeah. So people can, once they leave the show, it'll be about 2 o'clock. You know, there's all the shopping and everything, the whole shopping area over there. It's definitely an Atlanta landmark. Where,
is that down in the alley?
Kenny's Alley.
Kenny's Alley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All yep. Right. Down in Kenny's Alley. And you park and you can stay as long as you like. And
it starts at?
From 11 a.m. And the show starts at 12. So,
and to get information about admission, where you go?
You go to www.myspace.com/LaKaraFoster. That's LaKaraFoster. And all the information is on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. And even the menu's on there.
Oh, right.
Yes, the menu. There's going to be four stations, and there's going to be chicken and waffles and grits and all sorts of pastries, meats, and juice.
All right.
So,
that sounds
it's
exciting.
Gonna be phenomenal. So really it's going to be an incredible weekend. What else you got planned for the weekend?
For me?
Yes.
I don't know yet. I mean, it's like, you know, we're leaving it open. I know Sunday we had said we're going to the brunch. We don't know what I'm going to be doing on Friday. But Friday I have a screening on Friday morning.
Yes, and that's 10 o'clock in the morning. Tell us about that screening.
I don't know too much, but it's the Noah's Ark folks.
Okay.
And they have a movie coming out
in
October, from what I was told. And they have a screening that I've been invited to, so... And I invited the production team for Alternative Perspectives to join me. And then we're going to have an interview with the cast on a Tuesday at the W.
Okay.
So I assume that they're going to be around for Black Pride, you know, probably, you know, somewhere in the W and advertising the new stuff and all that kind of stuff. So so on Friday morning we'll be doing that. And I'm not sure what's going to be happening Friday and Saturday yet.
Okay. I'm very excited. I think that there's been a lot of people that are doing a lot of things that are coming into town that want to be a part of Black Pride, that want to be a part of this movement in Atlanta, because that's what it feels like.
Yeah, there is a movement.
Yeah.
There's really and truly a movement.
Mm-hmm. And it feels that way.
Yeah.
I know this lady from the book Double Pleasure, Double Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Rashawn, she's going to come. She'll be a guest at the show. Her book is incredible. She lives in Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah. So she's coming all the way down and being a part of the festivities and really connecting with people down here. And she's excited about it. And I know we have the cast from the web soap opera Lovers and Friends.
Okay.
They're going to be in town.
Okay.
And they're going to be a part of She Speaks on the 2nd.
On the 2nd?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
they were at Pride. They were at Atlanta Festival.
Yeah, they went on
Pride
right
Festival,
before us.
And they were at the booth for the Rock, Rhythm, and Rhyme.
Yes.
And they were there for a couple of days. And
very friendly
I got
cast.
To meet them. Yeah, got to meet them, talk to them. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be doing an interview with them, which She Speaks on Tuesday. I think the director is actually going to come in the studio because she'll still be
terrific.
Here.
Terrific.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
So it's a lot of people coming in town. And
really
She
Speaks is
thing.
The first Tuesday.
The 2nd, my birthday.
All right.
Yes.
September the 2nd. We'll have to remember. Like Carver's birthday, folks. Okay. September 2nd.
Yes. And if people want to go and they want to get information for everything that's going to be going on for Pride, I know that they can go to the End of Life Atlanta's website. And there's a lot of information there.
Okay.
And what else do we have?
Gosh. I don't know. You have to tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just here.
You're just here.
Now we have the debut of Lesbian411.
Yes.
.info is
Shauna Brown.
1st.
Yes. That's gonna be dynamic.
That is awesome. I got the preview of it over the email.
The commercial. Did you see the commercial? Yes.
I mean, you know, we got the press release and all that, and the official stuff comes out on September 1st.
Yes, Lesbian411.info.
And it promises to be an awesome resource for the lesbian community.
She has 153 commercials that are going to be played within, I think, about a week or 2 week span, and it's on BET logo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember everything.
Alternative Perspective has a little headline up there on her her commercial page.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know,
awesome.
Telling people what to look up when they're here in Atlanta and what's important, and Alternative Perspective is right up there.
Awesome.
So, and I appreciate that, and thanks, Shauna.
Yes. And I know she's going to be playing the segments of She Speaks on there.
All right.
So, yeah, people who missed it.
And she's going to have the podcast of these shows.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, she is an awesome lady and does a lot. And she always stays behind the scenes, kind of.
Yes.
You know, but.
And for those of you who may not know her, she was the Grand Marshal
for Atlanta Pride this year.
For Atlanta Pride Parade.
Yes. And she had been recognized by the National Black Justice Coalition as one of the up and coming entrepreneurs in the United States, you know, like the top 25 or something like that, when they had early in the year recognized folks. And she was recognized by them. And, she's an awesome lady, like I said, you know, and she like I said, she said she does, just like the young woman we spoke to earlier, where she had been put in touch with people here in Atlanta to get her her movie out there into the right places and whatnot.
Right.
You know, Shauna Brown is that kind of person.
She is.
Lots
she does not keep it to herself.
Yeah, she doesn't keep it to herself. A lot of connections, but always sort of kind of stays in the background, you know. But
so if you listen to Shauna Brown, we are praising your name.
Yes, indeed. I've worked with her since 2002 and continue to do so with pleasure. And, and we've done a number of things together.
And I always tell her I want to be like her when I grow up.
All righty. that's a good example, you know. But, Lesbian411.info. Look for that after September 1st, the official. And you probably can go up there and see the front page, I believe.
Yeah, and get an idea, or you can go to her her MySpace page,
right?
And then
MySpace/ Shauna Brown, or is it Lesbian?
I think it's Lesbian411.
Okay.
I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I hope so too. But you might be able to find it on the Shauna Brown. I don't know. I haven't been up there, but I know September 1st is the official release. So, but I know that she had a one page thing up under that
Yes,
URL.
when you go there.
Yeah, so it's lesbian411.info. Check it out, you know, because there's a lot of information on there. I skimmed through the stuff she sent out, and I'm assuming that's only partial of what you're actually
right. It's
going to
be
you know,
a lot. It's going to be
it's a lot of stuff.
Very multi-layered network.
Yeah, very multi-layered. All kinds of happenings and things and inclusivity and, you know, a lot of stuff, you know. So I thank you, Shauna. Thank you.
Yes.
Because I know that stuff takes a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of energy, a lot of no sleep nights.
Who's sleeping? Sleeping is so 2004.
2004.
No one sleeps anymore.
Who sleeps anymore? Okay.
No one sleeps anymore. Well, I do have some other exciting news. We're actually working on the Brown Sugar Vibe becoming a television show.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're working with a company now, and it'll probably start. It's going to start off with cable access.
Okay.
Cable access television, but it'll be ours. And then from there, hopefully some big network will pick us
cut
up.
Your picket check. Yeah, y'all righty now.
HBO, that's the, Showtime.
That's the aspiration for everybody in the media as we get on to the, you know, that's the aspiration. That's
oh,
good,
yeah.
Well, lots of luck with that. That's great. That sounds
Thank
good.
Thank you.
That sounds good. I hope to be on your show.
Of course. Of course. Of course. And you think you're not, you think you don't get any sleep now.
That's funny.
You will not get any sleep at all.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I thank you, LaCara, for being here. I thank our guest who called. I thank the Reverend Beecham from College Park from the St. John's Episcopal Church.
And we're going to keep them in our prayers.
Absolutely. Keep him in our thoughts, our prayers, his church, his congregation. And know that that we're here for you. And if you need to come back on the air and tell us what's going on, please do at any time.
Let me ask you one thing, Betty. I think we have about a minute and a half, if you can. Can you give us a brief update on what's going on with Atlanta Pride? I know I'm reading a lot of things in the paper.
Well, I can't give you an official update because I'm not the official spokesperson, and that's, you know. But we are reorganizing and restructuring.
Okay.
And the executive director and the festival director, as reported in SoVo, have both resigned.
Right.
It's financial. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're in the red.
Okay.
Okay. And we have to figure out how to make up that before next year.
Right.
So that's basically what's happening. We're restructuring in order to do that.
Right. Do you think we'll have them on soon so they can give us
a they should be coming on in the next couple of weeks.
And tell us how everybody can help. Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of postings, and, you know, we're going to have to do some fundraisers. We're looking to collaborate with other organizations, other groups, you know, for mutual stuff. Any kind, you can always go up online, you know, and donate there. At AtlantaPride.org. The committee is in place. The board is in place, and we're working together to make it happen. It is going to happen in 2009, most definitely.
Awesome.
We just don't know what location yet, and that's part of the restructuring, planning,
exactly,
or whatever.
Right.
But when all of that is done, it will be announced. There will be an Atlanta Pride Festival in 2009.
And I think that's what everybody wants to hear.
I can say that for sure. Okay?
Yes, that's what everybody
this
wants to hear.
This is what we know is going to happen.
Awesome.
Okay, because we have met on an unscheduled meeting, and we have another meeting, which is the scheduled monthly meeting coming up on 9/6. But we did meet so that we could sort of kind of just gel and merge and know that each of us, you know, has a job to do.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Betty.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. And with that note, I thank everybody out there for listening. And please, next week is, we'll have a wrap-up of Black Pride.
Yes.
And she speaks.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And she already gave you a little bit of what's coming up there. And good night and buenas noches.
You're listening to WRFG Atlanta.